We're in a very practical series. If you're looking for just practical Christian living, you've come to the right place on Sunday mornings. We're going through the one another's in the Word of God. We've covered several. We got several more to go. Today is devoted to one another. Let's think of all the recent activities we've had to help our church become more devoted to each other. A week ago Thursday, Young Hearts met downstairs. They are definitely a devoted bunch. Man, they've been meeting for years. And plus, we got new people coming in as well. And we had a great time together. I enjoyed eating with them. I enjoyed watching them laugh and talk among themselves. And we had a great time. Well, last Sunday, and of course this morning at 10, we had our connection groups. And before class, they're catching up with each other. And then they're studying the Bible together. What a great time of fellowship that they have every Sunday. On Tuesday, 15 of our men met at the Salem Red Sox game, and we had a blast. Even though they were more like the Bad News Bears. Where's Barry, right, Barry? They lost 11-4, but we had a great time. Then Wednesday, we met for midweek refresh. I love Wednesday nights here at Gospel Light. And we read scripture, we share praises, we pray together, we review Sunday's message, and we have a time of singing. We shake hands on Wednesday night, and we try to get around to everybody. In fact, it's hard to get everybody back in their seat. Come on, like, come on, guys, we got to keep going with the service. But we have a great time, and we fellowship before and after the service. It's awesome. So come on Wednesday refresh, a great time to connect. Then on Thursday night, 24 of our ladies met at Poncho Mexican restaurant, and buddy, they had a time. Ladies, if you went, raise your hand. All right, good. And it was a blast, Tanya said, and everyone had a great time. You know, for each of these events, that's just 10 days. Each of these events, I pray that everyone left feeling more devoted to each other than when you came. And that's the purpose of it. We are a family. And that is something so special. We got more opportunities this week. We've already mentioned Cracker Barrel. How many love Cracker Barrel? Amen. And some of y'all are hungry right now. You could eat a small farm animal from Cracker Barrel right now. And 11:30 on Thursday, just go with us. Everyone's invited. And we're going to have a good time. And then Saturday, of course, helping at Straight Street. This is a ministry. I think Wes wants us to do a hot dog supper and all the fixings. So if you're interested in helping cook something or serve, make sure you're there at 5:30 on Saturday. Make sure and see Wes about that. We'll look at verse 10 in Romans 12. Be kindly affectioned. In other words, devoted one to another with brotherly love. You can put it another way. With brotherly love, have genuine, devoted family affection for one another. That's what it means. Did you get that? With brotherly love, have genuine, devoted family affection for one another. You could say it like this. Be good friends that love deeply. How many got good friends that love deeply? That's what it's all about. Now, the last part of this verse, continue reading, and honor preferring one another, which means we take delight in honoring one another. That is very similar to what we covered 2 weeks ago in the message, esteeming one another. We consider one another. We regard each other very highly. So that was very similar. So today, our focus is just going to be on the first part of verse 10. You know, to be devoted to other Christians with a family sort of love means that our love is not based on personal attraction, charisma, or charm. All those things are superficial. No, devoted love goes deeper than that. We become good friends first, but then our friendship develops and it builds over time to where we love one another deeply as family. We'll become like the boy whose father asked him, if all your friends jumped off the cliff, would you jump off as well? And boy, the boy thought about that. And he answered back to his daddy, hey, no, if all my friends jumped off the cliff, I'd be at the bottom to catch them. I think that's a great answer right there, isn't it? What a joy it is to have friends who love us deeply. Let's turn to Colossians 4. Now, this is not going to be on the screens. I want everybody to turn to Colossians 4. Or you can get out your little mobile device. Amen? But let's follow along in Colossians 4, just a few verses. At the end of the letter to the church of Colossae, Paul introduces us to some of his friends. They compose his small group, or his connection group. I had to get that in there somewhere, amen? Many of these men had been with Paul for a very long time, others for just a short time. Think about how Paul had courage in the face of shipwreck, in the face of imprisonment, in the face of beatings. What got Paul through is his faith in God and good friends. Can I tell you, you've got a church family that no matter what you face, what's going to get you through is your faith in God and good friends, right? We're like family. Well, let's look at verse 7. Everyone there, Colossians chapter 4, verse 7. And my state, or all my state, shall Tychicus declare unto you. In other words, he'll give you a full report of how I'm getting along. Who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. Verse 8. Whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he may know your estate and comfort your hearts or encourage you. Verse 9. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Verse 10. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you. And Marcus, that's Mark, sister's son to Barnabas, in other words, his cousin, touching whom ye received commandments. If he come unto you, receive him. In other words, as I've instructed you before, make Mark welcome if he comes your way. That's what Paul's telling them. Look at verse 11. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers. In other words, these are the only Jewish believers among my co-workers. And he's just named them all. Unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Isn't it great that he had some good friends? He's got one more. Well, no, he's got several more. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect. That's another word for mature. And complete in all the will of God. Verse 13, for I bear him record, I assure you, that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis. I'll make sure I get that right. 14, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Boy, that's a lot of names, isn't it? And a couple of places. That'll get you tongue-tied. But here, I just wanted you to see this group of men who are gathered around Paul. Now, I'm not going to go into detail about all of them, but I do want to just point out some. Tychicus. Paul calls him a beloved brother. There was an intimacy between them. He knows Paul. He can give a full report about all that God's doing in Paul's life. Now, I wonder, do you have a friend that could give a full report to others about how you're doing? That was Paul's friend. And then I thought about Onesimus. How many have heard that name before? Right? Remember, he had been a runaway slave from his master, Philemon. Paul met him in prison. And guess what? Led him to Jesus. Onesimus believed in Jesus for salvation right there in prison. Paul wrote to Philemon asking for Onesimus' freedom. And we can tell by the fact that Paul is now sending Onesimus to the church of Colossae as a faithful and beloved brother that Philemon granted Paul's request. Man, I had a fun time studying the book of Philemon. I believe it was on Wednesday nights or Thursday mornings. We spent a whole pile of time on that. It was a blessing. All right, the other one I wanted to point out was Marcus. At one point, and y'all remember this story, one point in Paul's ministry, Paul didn't have any use for Mark. Anybody ever disappointed you? You better shake your head, all right? Because I'll do it tomorrow if you're not careful, all right? He had abandoned Paul and Barnabas on one of their missionary journeys. He just said, I'm quitting, guys. I'm going home. Well, Barnabas stuck up for his cousin, or stood up for him. And he saw potential in him. And it got so serious that Paul and Barnabas had to end up separating. Y'all know the story. Paul took Silas. Barnabas took Mark. And now there's two missionary journeys at the same time. So God was in it. He allowed it to happen. God can work through our mess, amen, and still do great things. So now it's years later. And guess what, y'all? Paul is mentioning Mark being in his small group. I'm telling you, they had reconciled. Now we would think, man, now Mark's the last person you would have guessed to once again be close to Paul. The news of this reconciliation was probably so new that Paul tells the Colossians to welcome Mark when he comes, just in case they're harboring any ill feelings toward him. Have you ever been hurt and then you shared it with somebody else and they got madder than you about it? Well, he's just cautioning them, hey, if Mark shows up, make sure you welcome him, receive him. Everything's good. You know, by saying receive him, Paul's telling them that all is forgiven. How many love that word like I do? Wow. You know, that this gives us all hope. If you've had a rift with someone, reconciliation is always possible. All can be forgiven. We can love and serve Jesus again together. All right, then I wanted to point out Luke. Not only was Paul a New Testament writer, but he had two of the gospel writers right there in his inner circle. Mark wrote the gospel of... That was not a difficult question, okay? And Luke wrote the gospel of... And he also wrote the book of Acts. Boy, you're not ready for your pop quiz today, all right? Much of the New Testament came from these three men, Paul, Mark, and Luke. You know, Paul feels the same way about Luke as he does the other guys. He calls him the beloved physician. Then we have Demas. Couldn't leave this without mentioning Demas. You know, when talking about friendships that develop in the church, we would love to just talk about all the success stories. But we can't. 2 Timothy 4, you don't have to turn there, I'll just read it to you. Verses 9 and 10, Paul writes, Timothy, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. If you know the verse, say it with me. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed. Well, Demas had disappointed Paul. Sometimes people are going to disappoint us. They will not stay committed to Jesus. Some will drop out. Boy, we got to stay devoted to Jesus. How many are in agreement to that? And then we got to stay devoted to each other. And so that's what I see from this picture of Paul's small group as he's writing to the Colossians. Look at this, and I thought this was good. Four levels of friendship. I looked this up, and I thought it was amazing. Number one, acquaintance. That's just an occasional contact. We ask general questions. We only bring up public information that can be shared. Nothing private. Because they're just an acquaintance. Maybe somebody at the store where you go get your gas, or it could be a myriad of other things, but they're just an acquaintance. Number two goes a little deeper. Casual friendship. That means you have common interests with someone. Maybe you enjoy activities, the same activities. You're concerned about the same stuff. You ask more specific questions. You're able to even share your opinions, your ideas, your wishes, maybe even some of your goals. All right? We've moved from acquaintance to casual. Number three, close friendships. Boy, that means you have mutual life goals. Man, you're on the same page. You have freedom to suggest mutual projects in order to reach those life goals in your life. You're close. But then number four, intimate friendship. Committed to the development of each other's character. Woo! Well, that goes deep, doesn't it? In other words, you've got freedom to correct one another. When you see something in the other's life or they see something in your life, they're free to speak up. And you take it properly because you know they have your best interest at heart. So there we go. Can we say them together? Four: acquaintance, casual, close, and intimate. Now, level three and four, close and intimate, are not found, they are built. You say, preacher, how are they built? I've got four characteristics of a devoted friendship. Number one, commitment. Say that together. Ready? Commitment. I'm amazed at one of our connection groups that have been committed to meeting every week since 2017. For over 7 years, Ken Butterworth, Wally Smith, and William Sparrow. Raise your hand, Wally. Raise your hand, Ken. William. Right there. Those three guys have met every Friday for 7 years. Now, that's level four friendship, isn't it? I'm sure they've told hundreds of stories. Oh, my word. I'm sure they've gotten off thousands of rabbit trails. But you know what? They've committed to studying the Bible together. They pray together. And more than 10 times they've told me, preacher, we prayed for you at our meeting. You know what these guys have done? They've just decided we're going to share life together. And man, I pray they do it till the trumpet blows. You know, this group is special and successful because they've made that connection group a priority in their life. The more time we spend together, the more we're going to get to know each other. And I tell you, if you've got something against Ken, you better not tell William or Wally. Because you know whose side they're going to be on. They're going to stand up for one another. That's the way it's supposed to be. We're family. Now, if you're just content with level one and level two friendships, the need to go to connection group, the need to attend church regularly, it's neither here nor there. We'll only go when it suits us, when it fits perfectly in our schedule, but you're not committed. However, if you want to go deeper, you want to get to number three and four, close or intimate friendships, and be devoted to one another, we need to do everything in our power to attend regularly and prioritize relationships. You say, preacher, what two relationships do I need to prioritize? Woo, I'm glad you asked. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. And then from last week, say it with me, ready? And love thy neighbor as thyself. If you're focused on loving God and loving others, woohoo, your priorities are right. Stay committed to that in order to have a devoted friendship. Number two, building deep, intimate friendships and devoted friendships also require openness. Now, there are some people who can weigh us down with all the burdens that they have. They feel sorry for themselves, and they could care less about what troubles you or us. But most people are not like that, okay? Most folks just want someone to listen to them. Y'all believe that? In talking it out, they feel better equipped to handle what's troubling them. A lot of times, Tanya just needs to get it out. She'll call her sister. She'll call her mama. Or she'll sit down with me. She's not looking for me to give her advice. She just needs a listening ear. Most of the time, that's what people are looking for. And they want someone devoted to them that really cares. Now, when we trust one another with the painful stuff in our life and the troubling parts of our lives, you know what we're doing, y'all? We're bearing one another's burdens. And we're fulfilling the law of Christ. That's Galatians 6:2. When you are open with someone, that's exactly what you're doing. You're obeying the command of bearing one another's burdens. You know, I don't think less of someone if they confess to me maybe a struggle, maybe a sin problem, maybe a failure that they've gone through. I actually think more of them because of the courage it took to share it with me. I don't look down on them. I know better how to pray for them. When they open themselves up to me, man, that's a blessing. Someone said it like this: If you spend time bragging about your accomplishments and attempt to make every conversation you have with someone a teachable moment, pretty soon you'll just be talking to yourself. You know, we don't need to make every conversation, well, let me tell you this, or I'm going to teach you a thing or two. No, no, no. And always talking about me, me, me. No, we need to get our eyes off ourselves. Open up. Share your struggles. Listen to their struggles. Be there for one another. And just listen. You know, we've got to admit our weaknesses, our doubts, our fears, our struggles. We're all human, I believe. Let's look around real close. Okay, we're all human. None of us have arrived. We don't have that glorified body yet. We will one day, hallelujah. But we have not got to that point. So when we expose our brokenness, people will expose their brokenness as well. And devoted friendships are going to be the result. Hey, instead of driving people away, openness is going to draw people to you the more you open up to them. And if you don't open up your heart for your friend, they're going to find somebody else that will. I love this. Friendship is the comfort of feeling safe with a person with no need to weigh our thoughts or measure our words. Man, that's open, isn't it? I'm able to share anything because we love each other so much. So that's the path we need to take to have devoted friendships. All right, number three. Got two more. Being devoted to each other also requires history. Time. All right? George Washington. Boy, I'm quoting George Washington today. Be courteous to all. Listen. But intimate with few. And let those few be well tried before you give them your confidence. True friendship is a plant of slow growth. Well, that's pretty good advice from old President George. Amen. My best friendships have stood the test of time. Can you say that? Now, they've weathered storms of adversity. They've survived misunderstandings, disappointments. They've even survived arguments. My devoted friends affirm their love for me no matter how difficult it might be at the time. Hey, we disappoint one another. We see things differently. At times we even tick each other off. All right? But you know what? These friends still love me. They're not going to leave me, and I'm not going to leave them. Because we've been through so much together. And we'll make it through the tough times when they come. We've made it through a lot of tough times. There'll be more tough times ahead, but we'll make it. I don't doubt my devotion to them because our relationship is tested by time. Now, we can make friends fast, but I'm telling you, it takes time to develop to that level 3 and 4 stage. But it will happen. Just stay together. Get to know each other more. But it takes commitment. It takes openness. It takes history. Number 4, it takes mercy. Woo! It takes generous doses of mercy. Many times I have failed a devoted friend. I've been insensitive. Man, I've been careless. I've been stubborn. I've been neglectful. But you know what? They have not held it against me. It might have hurt for a while, but they were able to get over it. When I least deserved it, they extended mercy to me. Jesus said, y'all remember this one, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain or receive mercy. Let me add, they'll also have a number of friends. If you're good at dishing out mercy, guess what, y'all? You're going to have friends all around you. Because people need mercy. We're human. We're going to fail one another. We're going to disappoint each other. So we got to have mercy in our relationships. Aren't we blessed, listen, that we have a God that not just is all-knowing, not just is all-powerful, not just he's forgiving and gracious, but my God is also extremely merciful. Aren't you glad of that? Over 200 times in just the Old Testament, It just, that word mercy or merciful describes our God's divine nature. Boy, he's merciful. And I'm blessed to have merciful friends as well. Devoted friends that don't give up on me. They know my flaws. They've experienced my flaws. Man, they've been ticked off because of my flaws. Yet they still love me. I tell you, they make a difference because they are full of mercy. This week, who can you devote yourself to? Doesn't even have to be in church. I'd love it to be in church because that's, we're family. But maybe it's somebody else, a neighbor, a friend. But maybe find somebody right here in the church. Did you know being devoted to one another is the primary way the world recognizes that we are followers of Jesus? By the way that we're devoted to each other. So if you want to make a difference in this old world, woohoo, love one another. Be devoted to one another. Let me repeat it. With brotherly love, let's have genuine, devoted family affection for one another. I got to end with a poem. I don't normally do this. I had 4 points in a poem. You can write home and let everybody know, okay? But I love this. I found this reading this week. Listen very carefully. A simple friend has never seen you cry. A real friend has soggy shoulders from your tears. A simple friend doesn't know your parents' first names. A real friend has their phone numbers in their cell phone. A simple friend seeks to talk with you about their problems. A real friend seeks to help you with your problems. Isn't this good? A simple friend, when visiting, acts like a guest, but a real friend opens the refrigerator and helps himself. That's the kind of friends I like. A simple friend thinks the relationship is over when you have an argument, but a real friend knows that it's not a friendship until after you've had a good fight. A simple friend expects you to be there, always be there for them, but a real friend expects you to always be there. They expect to always be there for you. Let me repeat that since I messed it up. Ready? A simple friend expects you to always be there for them. A real friend expects to always be there for you. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Are you a devoted friend this morning? You'd say, preacher, I got a lot of level ones and level twos. But boy, I'd love to have some more level threes and level fours. Close, intimate, devoted friendships. And boy, it begins right here in the church because we are